thing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to My Wife, She Loves That Reprise Cast, a podcast that's just tying up all the loose ends. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined, as always, by your friend and mine, Molly.
Hey, hi, it's me, Molly. You got Luke with us.
Hello.
Hello, we're back. We weren't really gone, though. I mean, like, we were, but, like, not really.
Wait.
It's been a week.
Oh, sure.
We don't record 24/7,
we were gone for
saying.
The normal amount of time that yes. We have decided is...
Right.
Yes.
Much like a pendulum goes away at one end of a second.
It'll always come back.
Always comes right back to you.
Like sand through the hourglass.
Luke, what'd you do this week?
What did I do this week? Wrapped up Persona 3. I don't got anything else to say about Persona 3. It's Persona 3. You know
it.
Yeah,
it's Persona 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, but I also don't care.
Well, I was more talking to the folks at home.
Oh, that's fair.
They may also not know it, though.
All right.
But they might.
Okay. Moving along.
Are you excited to see me, Luke, in a bit?
I'm so excited to see you. But what else I do? I've seen some films this week, some movies.
Please,
some moving pictures. Right after we finished recording last week, I spent the rest of the evening watching Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, how'd that go? You have a longer podcast about this. But.
Yeah, I have a longer podcast coming out about it. But, like, okay.
I haven't seen this movie.
It's better than the, like, theatrical cut, for sure. It, like, for a 4-hour long movie, it moves pretty quickly. Like, it feels well-paced. But it's a 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-hour movie about, like, Superman and the Flash and what have you. I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze on this one.
It's not really your thing.
It's also just kind of like two or three movies that like are interwoven together surprisingly well, but that's why it's so goddamn long.
Right.
Would you say that it's more of a TV show? It's like a...
In some ways, kinda, but like not... Like I said, it's actually edited together pretty darn well. You know, it's 4 hours long, but it doesn't feel a minute over three.
Okay.
Yeah, I have had like enough people in my life who have like said, no, it's good, actually. For me to be like, okay, like maybe...
I think it is good for what it is, and I I won't say it without that qualifier.
You could not pay me to sit down and watch a 4-hour movie.
No.
I would watch a 4-hour movie, but not that 4-hour movie.
Yeah. It's just not worth it.
Molly, you watched The Return, though.
That's true. You watched an 18-hour movie.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I watched a TV show that aired weekly.
What if, because there are like chapter title cards in Zack Snyder's Justice League. What if they added like credits in between those? Is that enough to turn it into a TV show for you?
I mean, I don't think I can separate what I know it is from what they're trying to tell me it is in my brain at this point. You know, like if they tried to dress it up different. David Lynch can tell me it's an 18-hour movie all he wants, but it sure aired weekly on television for 18 weeks, or 15 weeks or whatever it was. Like, you could say it's an 18-hour movie. Like, fine, I guess, but, like, nobody's watching it for 18 hours straight, David.
It'd be wild if there was, like, a movie theater, like, a theatrical cut of it that just took the credit sequences out.
Right.
And it's just like, hey, here's your day pass to the movie theater. You can come and go as you please.
Do that? But, like, you would just put the intermissions in where the episodes end. Like, here's, okay, it's been 2 hours, go take a bathroom break. Like,
have been moments, like, other TV shows, like, that are done by, like, you know, auteur people.
Yeah.
Who, like, at, like, Cannes and stuff, where they will, like, oh, like, now, you know, like, here is, like, an, like, you know, put out the next 8 hours to see, you know, Top of the Lake.
You know what? They did do a theatrical release of Twin Peaks: The Return, apparently.
That sounds like shit. Sorry.
And like, it wasn't the whole... It was like, hey, come this weekend to watch the first 4 episodes. Come next weekend to watch the next 4.
That's a TV show.
Right. Oh, I see. It was at like the it was at like the Museum of Modern Art. So it wasn't like even a limited release. Yeah. It was like a museum showing. Okay.
Okay, that makes more sense. That's still like TV show.
Right.
I'm not being convinced.
I'm just reading this fucking IndieWire article, this quote from like the curator of the Museum of Modern Art. As the chief curator of film and not television at MoMA, I will simply say that my opinion on the matter can be interpreted through the fact that I've invited it to be screened at the museum. Interpret
Shut up,
that how
dweeb.
You will.
Shut up, dweeb.
Shut up.
As we all know, I'm better than the TV guy because I only watch film.
You know that those, like, they have the worst, like, office argument.
Right, right.
There is no one in that room that is not fucking insufferable.
I am one of those people, and like everyone there sucks. And if I was there, I would suck.
Right, right.
That's it. Listen, I'll allow it. You do whatever you want, but I'm gonna be over here like I could just watch it on my TV. It's not that big a deal.
Right, I can just pull up the episode list and pull up part 11. Watch the Mitchum Brothers.
Just watch the Mitchum Brothers. The cinema.
There was that post going around of like what's the best episode of like Twin Peaks season 3?
Yeah.
And I was like, whew.
Yeah. Oh no, it is the Return Part 11.
It's 11. Yeah, I think it is.
I think it's a pretty easy one.
I'm just thinking about like when my dad used to have a TiVo and he had every episode of Mad TV saved onto it, queued up to his favorite sketches. Sometimes he would record the same episode multiple times so that he could queue up different sketches easily.
Oh my god!
And I would love to just have that for the return, so I could just push a few buttons and watch the Mitchum Brothers get that check.
I guess I understand. I guess I like on some level, he just made YouTube. He made himself a YouTube.
Yeah, he made YouTube before YouTube.
Right.
We
the decadence of the DVR.
Right.
We need to make a Mitchum Brothers cut.
It'd be really short. I'd be sad about it.
Yeah, you'd be disappointed by how little the runtime was.
No, exactly. I'd be excited. I would look at that and be like, it's shorter than a regular episode. Thank God.
We need an entire Mitchum Brothers spinoff.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't need a Twin Peaks season 4. Everybody's dead. Whatever. Just give me the Mitchum Brothers show.
Yeah, just give me the Mitchum Brothers show.
Just give me Better Call Saul, but with Jim Belushi.
Here's the thing, is that, like, you can't say it's a movie when you're doing prestige TV, David. It's prestige television. Don't fucking lie to me.
You're, like, specifically, like, parroting certain elements of...
Right!
Anyway, going back to what's happened today and not, 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's happening again.
Oh, God. Oh, no. What else did I do this past week? Oh, right, then I also watched a different movie for me and Crystal's podcast, because now that we've gone through Zack Snyder's superhero films... We're pivoting, and we're going to talk about M. Night Shyamalan for a while. We got to talk about the Eastrail 177 trilogy.
So really, this podcast is just Crystal forcing you to watch movies that she likes.
Oh, no, we've been talking about doing the Shyamalan superhero trilogy since, like, the beginning.
I know, but Crystal in that time has gotten very Shyamalan-pilled.
Right, she got Shyamalan-pilled in the interim, yes, totally. And yet, I liked Unbreakable more than she did.
Hey, sometimes it's like that.
We both liked it. I liked it a little more.
Well, yeah, it doesn't have... I assume that it's not until the weird handling of mental illnesses comes in that, like, really gets it going.
I liked her take, which is like, yeah, Split's a really insensitive movie. That's what superhero stories are, though, so what do you want out of it?
A little bit. A little bit.
But yeah, I enjoyed watching. Hey, you know who's pretty good at making movies is a Mr. M. Night Shyamalan. Unbreakable, pretty fucking good to look at.
He's got some bangers, from what I understand. I don't think I've ever seen a single one of his movies, but I understand he has some bangers.
You, like, need to watch The Sixth Sense. Like, it's not okay that you haven't seen The Sixth Sense.
I'll put it on the list. Here's the problem, Ashley. Luke and I's movie taste is... It meshes real good.
Yeah, no.
He's usually right.
It's like as bad as the fact that I've never seen Jaws.
That is really the trick of all of this, is that, like, after Molly has gotten into movies, they're not the movies that, like, I like.
The most devastating thing possible happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Except, have you watched Amadeus?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if somebody hadn't seen it or not.
I haven't seen the ending of it. I, like, was watching it late at night one time, and around the time... Salieri showed up in The Mask to, like, start his plan. I, like, had to go to bed, and I've never gotten around to seeing the end of that movie.
That means you got, like, an hour and a half in, man.
Is it? No.
You got half a movie left.
It can't be that little.
You got half a damn movie left.
I should probably go finish watching that movie someday. I really liked the first half.
It's really good.
Is that really only halfway through?
I feel like it's about halfway through.
Damn.
I guess I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's been years, so I don't remember.
I'm look at a plot summary as if that's gonna help me understand what the runtime was on that, right?
Like, I don't think the Wikipedia plot summaries give you time codes for the sentences.
I will say, it is about halfway through the summary.
Okay, then yeah, maybe there's a lot more to that movie than I realized.
Yeah.
But yeah, Unbreakable. Pretty good. Hey, you know who looks cool in purple is Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's fucking true.
You know what's really cool is when he wears, like, just a duster, and then the wind blows it, and it's got, like, a bright purple lining that you didn't see before. That's pretty sick.
True. Samuel L. Jackson's just a cool dude in general.
Just one of the coolest guys of history.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see him return in Glass. Yep. And then the other movie I saw, Chelsea had me watch the Disney film Holes, which I had never seen before.
You haven't seen Holes?
I read the book and I just never saw the movie.
Classic film.
Yeah, fun movie.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Dulé Hill is so hot in that movie. My God.
Yeah, he can fix that.
He could fix that.
Yeah.
Not that a lot movie, he couldn't fix.
That movie has, no matter what you like, they have a crush for you.
Yeah, because I'm more looking at Sigourney Weaver in that movie.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Listen, on one hand, she's running like an abusive, exploitative child labor camp. On the other hand, as we've discussed, she's tall and has red hair and can do what she wants.
So true.
She has poison nails.
She's got poison nails.
She fucks up John Voight.
Yeah.
Who let John Voight be in a kid's movie?
The last time I saw John Voight in a movie is when we did National Treasure for this show, and what a swing. I wasn't even sure it was him at first. I was like, that's not John Voight. Who is that? Oh my God, that's John Voight.
I feel like he is like closer to like what I think of as John Voight in Holes than he is in
really
natural like because I also like him like Anaconda,
sure, yeah,
where like just like the like slimiest dudes,
right? That's true. Come to think of it, the only other John Voight I'm coming up with off the top of my head is so we can mark it on the bingo card, that one episode of Seinfeld where he bites George or no, he bites Kramer. Because Kramer sees him and is, like, trying to flag him down for sitcom reasons. And John Voight's response is just to grab his arm and bite his hand.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then drive off in a taxi.
Wait, have you seen Mission Impossible?
I have never seen any Mission Impossible movies.
Luke. You should at least watch Mission Impossible 1.
I know.
Tom Cruise is in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I've heard that Tom Cruise is in those.
No, you don't understand. Tom Cruise is in that movie.
Listen, I grew up in a household that despised Tom Cruise, so I've not seen...
Because he likes Scientology so much.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, because that was only becoming a big deal by the time I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like it'd be too late for that.
No, my dad just hates Tom Cruise because he feels like he's a bad actor.
That's a bizarre reason to not like Tom Cruise.
Because he's the same character in every movie. He's just a cool hotshot who does everything right, and that's boring. you know, look, you know, he should try to, like, do something different in a movie sometime, so I wouldn't be bored of him. I'm like, well, he does. I can name you several. Well, I don't believe you.
I have a list of films here for you.
Dad, The Edge of Tomorrow is a movie about him getting murdered over and over again. Okay, well, whatever. That's
damn,
fake
that
to
movie
me.
Bangs.
Yeah!
Man, that movie does bang.
Yeah! Good movie.
See,
we've been doing this for 15 minutes now.
We triangulated on Edge of Tomorrow.
There we go, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it for me. I got Final Fantasy Rebirth, but then I realized I never played the, like, Yuffie chapter in Remake, so I'm doing first.
I hear it's good.
Yeah. I'm having a fine time with it so far, although I don't really remember how to play the game, and I'm like, I feel like these fights shouldn't be this hard, I just don't remember how to do this good.
Yeah, that's hard.
Fighting, like, two rats and a dog should not be taking me this many tries.
I mean, who knows?
How big with the rats?
Ashley, what have you been doing?
I also have been watching some movies. I watched Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Great film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been kind of going through, like, picking up on some of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies I haven't seen.
Yeah.
That has James Earl Jones and Mako in it. And so I think you could make a strong case for some of the best voices in a movie ever.
That is a lot of good voices.
It's... That is Arnold at his most, like...
Yeah, that was like his first English language movie, wasn't it?
It is the first English language movie where he is voicing himself.
Okay, sure.
Because his first English language movie was like Hercules in New York City...
Right, okay, yeah.
Where they dubbed him.
Yeah.
So I had a fun time with that.
The thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger is that he's just so good. I just love to watch him in a movie.
He's good, yeah, he's very large.
That is true. I just think he's pretty good at doing the acting thing. That's all.
Sure. I just also think he's pretty good at being large.
He is also being... Yeah, he's great at that.
Perhaps one of the best.
I was telling Molly and Pris that, like, apparently he changed his workout schedule to be Conan. Like, he's like, well, if he was just pulling this, like, you know, pushing this thing for, like, decades.
Right.
Like, these are, like, the muscles that would have gotten built up, and these are the...
Right, he wasn't trying to have, like, a balanced, like, body for a, like, a bodybuilding competition. He needs to be strong at the things he does.
Yes. And then I rewatched The Social Network.
Pretty good movie.
Still just one of my faves.
Yeah.
The line that really jumped out to me this time is, "Don't the fish eat the fish, the marlins or the trout?"
I don't remember this line.
It's when one of, Eduardo gets written about that he did animal abuse.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
for
feeding
the chicken he had to take care of, a chicken in the...
Right.
The mess hall. And he just, like, after, like, they keep on, like, harping on him, he just goes, "Don't the fish eat the fish!"
Yeah, like, even the kid who's kind of painted as the good guy in that movie is a dumb shit rich kid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just one of the, like, I have a book on, like, the best, like, film appearances that are under, like, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rooney Mara definitely takes place in there.
Mm-hmm.
In Social Network, where she just has that opening scene.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Where she tells him that he's an asshole.
Right.
And then, like, a later scene, like, there where she just shows up again and says, "Good luck with your video game," or whatever.
Right, he tries to, like, go hit on her, like, "Oh, don't you feel stupid dumping the guy who'd become the Facebook guy?" And she's like, "What?"
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, sorry, bye.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, a totally made-up character, but, like, integral to what the movie is going for.
Yeah, it was kind of weird to me to find out, because I had always heard about, with, like, Zodiac, how fucking, like, meticulous he was about, like, no, like, the pens and the pen cups at the newspaper studio need to be 1970s accurate. We gotta be that precise. And Social Network, he's like, I don't know, we'll just make up a girlfriend he never got over and make the whole narrative about that.
Yeah, I think part of that is because, Aaron Sorkin is write the script, and he's such a big, like, you know, force.
Right, right.
That he can over... I know that there are cases where in that, like, similar things of, like, you know, the pins, the... and all that, where, like, oh, Aaron Sorkin wrote him to be drinking screwdrivers, and he's like, no, he was drinking a shitty beer. It says it on his blog.
Right.
other than that, work, video games. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Molly.
I bought Last Epoch. Epoch? Epoch?
Epoch, I think. But that's a word I read a lot more than I hear.
Yep, same.
Yeah.
I purchased that video game. It is a action RPG Diablo type situation. You click to move, you press the buttons to shoot guys, okay, or, you know, hit them or whatnot.
Okay. I'm already off board, but yeah, I'm happy for you.
And you pick and you pick up loot on the ground. That's that's the game.
Okay.
I was a little sad because you can't customize your guy at all. You can't do any appearance customization, so I was sad about that.
Isn't that like one of the big appeals of that kind of game?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Like getting it's the loot. The loot is the appeal of this type of game.
I guess in my mind, the loot looks cool in addition to doing cool stuff.
Well, yeah, but like you don't see your guy under the gear generally.
Oh, sure. You're talking like literally the character creator.
Yeah, I'm talking about literally a character creator.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like that radical that that's not a thing.
No, sure. That
makes
more
sense that that's not a thing.
Yeah.
I was sad about it though. But yeah, I've been having a good time. I didn't play like the most of it. I bought it on Sunday when I was hanging out with Autumn and just kind of played for a few hours while I was doing that, but I was having a good time. It's fake Chrono Trigger.
Okay.
You go to the end of time. Like, it's they just Chrono Triggered the video game.
You know, yeah, I think I've heard of this one before. I think it's called Chrono Trigger.
I'm going to send you guys a picture of what the map looks like, and you will see. I don't know if you know the Chrono Trigger. Actually, have you played Chrono Trigger? I have no idea.
No.
Okay. Well, if you would please look at this map with the four different eras and the end of time at the top that you can go to.
I see.
I think you will find that this is a Chrono Trigger.
You know?
I ordered Chrono Trigger on, like, online from, like, the Square website for DS.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it got shipped to me, like, 6 years later.
So you didn't play it?
I didn't play it. By that time, I did not know where my DS was.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hacked my DS. I don't know where it is anymore.
I heard that's easy to do.
It was really easy, yeah. What else did I do over the weekend? Not, like, a ton else. That was most of my gaming. I did... The physical therapy lady decided to beat my ass this week. I was doing my exercises, and, like, I get to the part where we're doing, like, the stuff that I've done before, so she's not, like, supervising a ton anymore. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, do the regular routine you usually do. And I do one fucking leg lift, and she looks at me, and she goes, "No, that looked too easy." And then she fucking gave me ankle weights. I was like, God damn it. I was like, I shouldn't have said it was easy. Yes, sorry, my bad. I've been sentenced to extra resistance.
Great.
But it's been going okay.
Has it been helping your knee pain?
The thing is, my knee doesn't really hurt that much anymore.
Okay, so it worked.
That was the case even before starting physical therapy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I am more doing this to hopefully have it not get worse, know? This is mostly preventative on my part.
Gotcha.
But I have noticed that, like, yeah, I guess I have been working out every day for, like, the last 3 weeks because, you know, I'm getting less winded at stuff. Nice. You know, just general well-being stuff. I'm like, yeah, I guess it fucking works. I hate that.
Right. Yeah, it sucks.
it sucks. I hate it. But yeah, there was a point where I think like on Monday, or I was like, I came home to do my home exercises after work, and then I like started it, and I was like, oh, like my thigh muscles just work now. I see.
Right.
Like, oh, okay. I have those again. So just kind of really interesting in that way, because I don't think about that very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise I've been working on that. I have been watching baseball videos because it's baseball time again. We're so close to real baseball time.
Uh-huh.
It's March now. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I watched Columbo.
Hey, so did I.
Hey, I did too.
This is season 5, episode 1, Forgotten Lady.
Forgotten Lady. But the plot twist is that she's actually the Forgetting Lady.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I cared for that.
No?
No. I don't think I did.
Hmm.
I think I got to the end of this episode. I said, Columbo, I need you to stop trying to manipulate me right now.
Uh-huh.
Don't appreciate that. we start at a film premiere.
Yes.
For Song and Dance, which is apparently just a bunch of spliced together footage of old musicals.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
This used to be way more of a thing.
Sure.
Which makes sense when, like, movies are less fucking, like, easily available.
Yeah, there was, like, horror movie compilations, but musical compilations were the biggest one.
Sure.
I mean, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta get through all the musicals without putting the duds in there.
Yeah, listen, this is just the 70s equivalent of, like, loading up a YouTube playlist of, like, musical numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, setting up your TiVo to record Mad TV sketches that you like.
Pretty much exactly the same as that one.
It's all the same. We're all connected throughout time.
We've always been doing this.
It's so beautiful.
But yeah, there is an old starlet.
Grace Wheeler.
Yeah, Grace Wheeler, who I believe is played by Janet Leigh.
Mm-hmm.
Who most notably did the Psycho films.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, like, you know, she was a Hitchcock blonde.
Yeah. And also all the movies that they reference in this one are actual movies that the actress was really in.
Yes.
Wild.
I was like, there's a lot of actual footage in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, that never happens.
Uh-huh.
But they interview this lady when she's on the way out of the show. She says that she's going to restart her career. We see an old man in bed shake his head at this news.
Right.
And her guy she's with, Ned Diamond, who was her dancing partner, will not be returning to his career because he's like, I'm fucking old now. I ain't doing that shit.
Right. It also seems like her announcing this on TV is the first time she's told anybody, including him.
Yes. Yes.
Because then on the limo drive home, she's trying to convince him of the thing she's already announced.
She's like, no, it's a good idea. Everyone loves me. I'm the best.
You know, and you can, you know, I know you can't dance, but you can, you know, direct it and choreograph it. He's like, okay, we don't have a producer. You can produce it, too.
He's like, I'm a producer, huh? And she's like, yeah, no, it's easy. Producing's easy. You don't even have to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking through her, like, you know, filmography, she was in a lot of those, like, you know, the best of Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, the Movie Factory and stuff like that, where it was just a bunch of compilations. But, yeah,
right,
Walking My Baby Back Home is one of her films.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's just like, yeah, no, this is a great idea. Everyone loves me still, and I can still do this.
Right. And, like, in her defense, physically, she's up for it. Like, she is, like, still, like, got it as far
as
dancing goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, and especially in Broadway, this is a classic thing.
Uh-huh, sure.
You know, you got your Patti LuPone, who's done this, like, 5 different times.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond, her butler, is the driver of this car, and he's like, yeah, I don't know about all that.
Right. This butler, this poor man.
This... I think it's very cute that the maid and the butler are husband and wife.
Yes.
Firstly. But also, secondly, this butler hates everyone. Like, he likes Mr. Willis, who is her husband.
Uh-huh.
And it seemingly no one else.
Yeah. He's, like, okay with her.
Yeah, he's fine with her. But I don't think he buys into the whole situation there.
But butlers instinctively despise Columbo.
That's a fact. Cigar ash everywhere that man goes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but this guy especially loves Columbo, or especially hates Columbo.
Right.
Yeah, the maid constantly calling her, "Hello, Mom."
Hello, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get a long thing where she goes to try and convince her her doctor husband, who she hates, to give her $500,000 to run this Broadway show. He's like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't think you should do that. It seems like a bad idea.
We were going to have this giant trip around the world."
Right. We had plans already. You can't just do this.
Right. And also he's like, "Listen, $500,000, that's so much money." And she's like, "Well, but we're like really rich. That's not that much money for us." And he's like, "That's a lot of money for anybody. Come on." And what we will eventually learn, like an hour from now or more, is that he knows that she has, like, a brain aneurysm that is slowly killing her and, like, is ruining her memory. And that she is not, like, physically... Like, she will be dead before this show ever happens. But he's decided just not to tell her that part.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I missed it. Or I don't know if we don't know until Columbo tells Ned Diamond. Because so, I feel like we don't know until Columbo tells Ned Diamond.
It's one of those things where they do plant it throughout. Like, that's why she can't ever remember Columbo's name.
Right, but I thought she was just being a bitch.
See, no, I did too.
Because she's also a bitch in this episode.
That's what you're supposed to think in the moment, but then that is supposed to go back and recolor that. Like, oh, that's why.
But also, there are multiple times where she forgets things and has to have people remind her.
Yes, and times when she, like, mixes up plots from movies that she's done with, like, real life. Like, there's times where she's like, "Oh, don't you remember Rosie? How she just went on stage even though that horrible thing happened to her?" It'll be like that. And Diamond has to be like, "Rosie's a fictional character. That's not the same thing."
Right, but I didn't, you know... I guess, yes, it does recontextualize that, but also I kind of think that's stupid.
I don't know.
I'm really torn on the
twist of this one.
Yeah, because I think the performances are really good.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like...
I'll say that, Ashley. I think all of this episode works for me.
Yeah.
Also, she is so ruthless about killing this man.
Right.
That just the sympathy play doesn't work for me. This old man was being very nice to her, I thought. But, right. He should have told her, but,
yeah,
like...
probably should tell her about the disease
she tell her that she
has.
Was going to die, yes.
Yeah.
100%, absolutely. But, like, it just doesn't work as a sympathy play to me. I don't know. It's...
I think there's something to the, like, unsettling horror of, like, she's committed this awful murder and doesn't even know that she did it.
Right, I guess I don't know if that's true, you know?
Sure, we can't know for sure, but
I can't know that, and, like, she is horrific to a bunch of people during this episode, whether or not she remembers it. Like,
the kind of sympathy for me at the end just comes down to Diamond.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a fucking dumb shit for this one, but...
I mean, sure, he's a dumb shit in love.
Yeah.
Love makes dumb shits of us all, Molly.
But, like, the eventual bit of Columbo explaining to him how, you know, he knows that she did it.
Yeah.
And, like, him having, like, in that final scene, having to, like, deal with that.
Right.
It is, to me, like, a really interesting way for them to do this.
I really appreciate that this episode went for something different in its ending than they usually do. I don't know if it fully works, but I appreciate the swing.
That was when I was tweeting Peter Falk is in this episode, because I thought he was crushing, like, that whole part where she's like going in and out of the rooms and doing all this. I thought that part's incredible.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's really well performed. I just don't think I agree with the sentiment at hand.
Sure.
That's my beef.
Yeah.
Anyway, now that we've talked about the end of the episode, we can continue past the first 5 minutes.
Right.
I mean, it is a thing that is hanging over the episode once you know it.
Yeah, this is a plot twist episode in a way that no other Columbo has been.
Right, I guess that's the other thing I resent.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, usually I have all the information up front, and it's like kind of fun to watch this happen. I'm like, I kind of got blindsided by this one. I'm like, hey, that's not how this show works.
Yeah, Columbo is about setting up all of the dominoes right in front of you, but they seem like they're too far apart to knock each other over, and then, you know, sure enough, they do. And this one, yes. It's, this dominoes are set up, and then a cat jumps on the table and spills them.
Right. Like, wait a fucking minute.
But if you go back and look, I guess that cat was stalking around in the back of the room the whole time.
The whole time.
But for that, it's like the, oh, like, you know, count how many times the ball gets passed. Did you notice the gorilla?
Right, exactly. Right.
I also like some of the filmmaking in this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they're doing shots in this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, we have not gotten back to, like, that weird 70s stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, when
there's
she goes...
There's nobody overcommitting to a crazy shot that doesn't really work, like I wish we did.
Yeah, but, like, there's, like, a great, like, wonder where she is talking to the maid and then, like, sneaks by to get the sleeping pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, we follow the maid back to that cabinet.
Yes. No, I was also impressed by, like, a lot of the camera work on this one. I it made me go, like, oh, that's an interesting way to do this.
Right.
Which Columbo does not usually do.
Yeah. Anyway, we go to her theater, and this is Ashley. This is...
You wish you had this room to just screen films.
Like, this bitch is watching a movie at 11 p.m. every night? Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, she's, like, watching her own movies.
Yep.
Like, that's all she does. And it's... Yeah, I guess I don't, like... I'm not sympathetic towards her.
Right.
But I do feel, like, a deep sadness about her.
She's a pitiable character, even if she's not, sympathetic.
Yeah.
I guess the other part is that this setup she does is so elaborate.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I'm supposed to believe she's degenerated to the point where she can't remember anything over the last, like, however many days this episode takes place over.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she has to do 4 different sections of this fucking episode to, like, okay, I gotta go get the gun now. Okay, now I gotta go back and wait for him to change the reels and do that thing. And then, like, just all that stuff where I'm like, this is too much to be like, yeah, this lady forgot what she did. We can't take her in.
You know, it's almost, the memory loss thing kind of is an unnecessary, like, gilding the lily. It could just be she has a terminal illness she doesn't know about. And,
right.
Like, Columbo's like, I don't even know if there's a point in arresting her. She'll be dead before she ever sees a prison cell.
Yeah, like, I guess,
and
I,
like,
would
the guy,
appreciate,
you know, the guy can
more.
Still make the sacrifice and, like, you know, gum up the works at the end like he does. And it can just be like, yeah, just let her live out her, like, last month or two of life thinking she got away with it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's such an odd thing, but then also, have you ever seen The Farewell, Luke?
I have not.
That's a movie that, like, it has that exact plot where it's... Like, and apparently, I talked to Julie about this, apparently it's super common in China, because this is a Chinese movie.
Okay.
Or, like, a American movie about Chinese immigrants.
Okay.
Where their grandma has a terminal illness, and they don't tell her.
I see.
And so they have a fake wedding over in China, so that everyone can see her before she's supposed to go.
Oh, and, I see.
Yeah, and so it's like, I was talking with Julie, and she's like, oh, yeah, like, that's an extremely common thing that people will just, will know that their, one of their elders is dying, and they just won't say anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, that seems fucking...
I can kind of see it both ways, I guess. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can't stop it, so why waste what time you got left stressing out about it, I guess, is the logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, that...
The other, this lady gets way too sexual about killing this man, too. This whole fucking catsuit situation she pulls out to, like, go murder this guy... And I feel don't know.
That was a Janet Leigh thing where she's like, listen, I want to see people see that I'm sexy still.
Yeah. She's still banging. I can't deny it.
Well, because, like, you know, they've done this kind of bit with Columbo a few times where it's like, you know, the aging star.
Yeah.
And, like, wanting to make a comeback is that all of these people who are doing this and... is our aging stars who are trying to make a comeback on television.
Right, right. God, the last time they did that with the lady in the movie was so fucking good. That's a gotcha right there, where, like, she just pours Columbo a drink and they just, like, sit and talk.
Which one is that?
Where, like, her husband's buried under the fountain in her backyard.
Oh,
like,
right,
she's not just guilty of the current murder, but she also killed her husband, like, 20 years ago.
Yes, 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 yes.
Good that fucking Columbo.
That one also has Columbo walking through the prop department.
Yes.
Right. God, I forgot about that one. Anyway, she murders the shit out of this guy.
Yeah, she takes his revolver from his car, puts it in his hand. She used, like, a double dose of sleeping pills to make sure he was knocked out, and then, like, makes him shoot himself in the temple.
Yep.
Yeah.
And swaps out the book. Yeah, that's a rough way to kill somebody.
Yeah, it really fucking is.
Yeah. And then, like, swaps out the book he was reading for a medical file about, like, how he needs prostate surgery.
Yes.
Yeah.
To make it look like he was so depressed about that he would rather die.
Yeah.
Then she climbs down a tree... to get out and goes back inside to her theater.
Yeah.
To find that the reel has broken and she needs to stitch it together.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, this whole thing kind of... Part of the importance of it is that she needs to have been watching this movie the entire time.
Right, her alibi is that she was sitting here in the screening room watching this movie, so if the reel's broken, it immediately ruins her story.
Mm-hmm. So she, like, splices it together. That always seemed extremely difficult.
Yeah, I mean, she does it like a pro. She's clearly done it a million times.
Yeah.
The butler and his maid wife are watching Johnny Carson.
Yes.
A lot of Johnny Carson footage.
Right, that's the justification for why they don't hear the gunshot, is they're watching Johnny Carson.
Right, they're watching Johnny Carson, which we know is louder than guns.
Right.
Well, like, also, like, Columbo's like, this is a big fucking house.
Yeah, it is on the other side of the house.
I just love that this, like, super uptight British butler is just like, oh, the missus and I love to watch Johnny Carson each evening.
Yes.
Johnny Carson was on until 1 in the morning?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
That's wild to me.
And, like, they're laughing at, like, this lady saying, you look pretty sexy, Jenny Carson.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the wife laughs. He just sort of, like, smiles wryly, and then when, like, the show ends, he's like, what a wonderful program.
That's how British people laugh.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. I think just in my head, nobody ever stayed up past midnight until 1985.
I think that's false.
It's clearly false because Johnny Carson was on until 1 a.m. and he was a super popular guy.
It's true.
They don't call it like the early afternoon show.
But it's the Tonight Show. That 7 p.m. is tonight. Is that still when the fucking Tonight Show is on?
I think it's still on at, like, 9 or 10 o'clock.
Damn.
It's not like, midnight, but it is pretty late.
Because, like, there's a late night show. There's got to be time for that afterwards.
I like the very obvious, to use a industry term, sexist switch between the person falling out of the tree and the Janet Leigh coming out from behind the bushes. They do that with Columbo too later.
What was the term you used?
A Texas switch.
A Texas switch, okay.
It's a term used because of a lot of westerns.
I thought you
said... my apologies. The late show with Stephen Colbert starts at 11:35 p.m., it says.
Right, but that's the late show. I get that.
Oh, is that not... Okay, well, I don't know.
The Tonight Show.
Was it before fucking... that?
I don't know
anything about these shows.
What time is the Tonight Show on? That it comes on, 10:30. Okay.
And I think there didn't used to be a late show and
right.
So I think the Tonight Show just took the 2 hours.
Right. Fascinating.
Yeah. And they're on the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I thought you initially said the sexist switch, and I was like, what?
I also heard the sexist switch.
No, it's the Texas switch.
Right, that makes more sense to me.
It, the most common version of it is, when a guy gets thrown behind a bar in his old saloon.
Right.
And then, the actor pops up.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, she gets out together and manages to, button herself up from cat suits.
Yep.
Right when he comes in to change the wheels.
Yep. And then she burns the piece of film she had to cut out of the reel. Chelsea thought, and I thought she was dead on the money, was that Columbo was going to come and see the burnt remains of the film in the ashtray, and that was going to be the thread he started tugging on.
I also thought that.
But no.
Not quite.
Because, he's smoking all the time. He needs an ashtray.
Yeah.
He asked for several in this next scene.
Yeah.
I'll say also, Janet Leigh looks great in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those cases where... because they go upstairs first, and... the scene of her in her room where she is, smiling as he's, trying to break down the door...
Uh-huh.
...is... evil.
Yeah.
She's super evil.
She's just
that's the thing.
Well, I also like that you can watch her. She is smiling at first, and then you can watch her get into character as he keeps going at it.
Yeah.
Do you think that when they get called in for a suicide, if they're this was some rich people suicide, send Columbo. It's probably a murder.
Yeah.
Probably.
We have seen Columbo sleepy before, but he just looks just done with the world this time.
He is so sleepy. He's never been
sleepier.
He does
the Charlie Brown walk up to this door.
He does. And just it's me, Columbo. I forgot my badge at home.
And they're like, yeah, we know who you are, man.
He forgot his giant overcoat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he forgot his coat.
Yeah, he doesn't have his jacket, he doesn't have his badge, he doesn't have his notebook. He's got his cigars, though.
Well, there's important things and there's important things, okay?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they really mess up Peter Falk so that he looks especially good at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
He walks in and sees they have a maid and goes, hey, can I get some coffee?
Do you have a cup of coffee?
Most Columbo, what? that I did in a while.
He just seems broken in this early scene.
Yeah. I'm like, he's just asking this poor lady who, is clearly deeply upset if he could have some coffee? What are you talking about?
He goes to check the time and stares at his watch for, 10 seconds before he comprehends that there's no watch there.
Yeah, there's no watch on his wrist.
He, moves his, shirt back to, really make sure.
Yeah. And then while he's waiting for the coffee, he falls asleep standing up.
Yeah.
I've been there, buddy.
Yeah.
Clubbo goes up to the room, starts looking around, and is immediately like, yeah, this looks like a fucking murder to me.
Right.
I don't believe in any of this shit.
Right.
That book's too funny for a suicidal guy.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about
I know what you're gonna say.
about, like, well, a suicidal person wouldn't do that.
Right. Well, a lot of times, like, well, he was in a good mood. He wasn't depressed. He wouldn't kill himself. Like, that's not... Okay.
Yeah, that's not really how it works, man.
I know that, like, the understanding of depression and, like, suicidal intentions has, like...
Right.
Changed, especially since, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
But it just felt so weird that they're, like...
Every time Columbo harps on it, I'm like, Columbo, that's just not correct. You're just wrong on this one.
Yeah,
that's
not it, man. Yeah.
Like, it has been shown, like, that people who have, like, decided they're going to commit suicide can sometimes appear happier...
Right.
...than
right.
they used to, because they're like, ah, my problems are about to be solved.
Right. And, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, you could say he didn't have depression followed by happiness, but even so, you know. Yes. Yeah.
I do like that part of the way that this kind of starts to unravel is that neither Columbo nor the killer can read this, like, extremely medicine-y mumbo-jumbo.
Right.
Because it's two doctors talking to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they both assume that it's a way more serious thing.
Right.
Right.
But, like, the, you know, the guy... would know that it's not that serious.
Yeah, Columbo will check this. It's like, yeah, I mean, he needed surgery, but, like, it's not that serious. It's got a really high success rate. It was going to be fine.
And he liked antibiotics too much, so he was just slamming that shit to see if it would work.
Yeah. Yeah, the butler has to give Columbo, like, a journal.
Yeah, he's got to give him a notepad and pen.
Yeah.
And then it's just holding an ashtray that he keeps shoving in Columbo's face to ash.
Yes.
Yeah, like a crystal ashtray.
Uh-huh.
It's like a little clamshell situation that he's, like, carrying around with a handle.
Yeah.
Yeah, this butler's great.
yeah. This one, I will say, it did not feel like one of the longer episodes, at least. Or it did, but, like... It all felt like it was coming together okay. There wasn't like a time where I was like, Jesus Christ, move on, you guys.
Yeah, there is like definitely like a B plot that you could 100% cut, but I think it's fun enough and it's right. like
yes.
every instance of it is short.
Yeah.
Columbo's B plot is that he has not gone down to the shooting range in 10 years. Despite the fact that he needs to certify that he can shoot every 6 months.
Yeah. It's and like been he 10 just years. He just goes, well, I don't carry a gun.
Okay, well, that's also bad. You also can't, that's, you're gonna get fired, you idiot.
They're like, that's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the, like, one of the payoff for that, where there's just a guy standing in the corner, he's like, Columbo asked me to be here. It's like, are you police? He asked me to be here.
The Columbo just gives that guy his badge. Just, hey, go down to the shooting range, show them my badge, pretend you're me, and pass my shooting test for me. I'll give you $10.
$5. It was literally $5.
Yeah, it's only $5.
It's just so funny, because like that guy looks like such like a G-man.
Right.
He doesn't look anything like Columbo. Like, Columbo, you gotta at least give him your jacket.
Well, the idea is they don't know what Columbo looks like.
Well, yeah, he hasn't been down there in 10 years, but he should still give them the jacket just so he could, you know, say that he was there.
Right, right.
Everyone would remember that jacket. They would be like, oh, yeah, that's our guy.
It's
Columbo,
really... yeah, go
this
ahead.
Is your whole thing is, like, getting out of the... is, like, nailing people on these types of, like, perfect alibis.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's so funny to me that he is an even worse criminal than all the criminals he constantly catches.
Yeah.
But yeah, Columbo's about to leave with the guy's notepad, and then he's like, he just rips it out in front of him.
I mean, what's he supposed to do? He wrote the notes down.
I know, but like, the guy still looks angry.
Yes.
Because also the Columbo, like, bolts back into the house to, like, check on the dude's shoes.
Well, that's the part I love, right, where Columbo's just gonna go home, and the butler calls him back to get his notepad back, and he, yeah, rips the page out, gives it back to him, and they're like, all right, well, good night, sir, and he goes, yeah, good night, and then just walks back into the house to keep investigating.
What a little imp.
You can't invite Columbo into your home like this.
He'll never leave. He'll never, ever leave.
But yeah, he finds out that the guy's, like, slippers are completely clean. Shouldn't there be some kind of dirt if he went out to get his gun?
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, very flimsy, but whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not like the smoking gun, but it's like the... that's weird.
Yeah.
The thing that's weird... so, like, the thing that gets me is, like, nobody... do they account for that gun every day? Like... does somebody go check the glove box to make sure it's still in there every day? Because, like...
I think the argument that Columbo is making is that either he spontaneously decided to kill himself, in which case he would have had to go get the gun and those slippers right. should be dirty, or he was planning to kill himself and brought the gun in with him, but in that case, why did he bother to take a sleeping pill, and why did he bother to keep reading a book he was going to kill himself before he finished?
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, you know, people are weird.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'll bet you somebody's killed themselves with an unfinished book before.
100%.
I'll bet you it's happened once in human history.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And to be a film nerd, I really love this shot of Diamond, her, like, film partner, pulling in and then, like, without cutting, we just, like, pan across and see, like, the entryway, and he comes in and then walks up the stairs
this
past
is,
the camera.
This is one of the ones where I was like, yo, they're doing stuff this episode,
they got, like, a cinematographer this time.
Yeah.
Right, but yeah, the camera's, like, watching him through the window and then turns around to, like, track him as he walks through the door. Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, when it turns around, Raymond is walking to the door because the doorbell rang.
Yeah, but, like, also both of the, like, framed shots are very, like, voyeuristic. Like, it's peeking at him through the window, and then it's, like, sort of peeking at him from the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, he's, like... well, obviously, we need to call all of this, you know, show off, you know, because some, you know, your husband just...
right, because you're in mourning.
Yeah. And she's like, no!
She's like, what? No, and this is the moment where I was like, well, no, you fucked it. You need to, you just gotta play this cool. If you're...
yeah, sorry, you do have to postpone the show.
If you're in good enough shape to do this now, you will be good in good enough shape to do it next year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the only thing that, like, I kind of buy from her is her being like, I need to be busy.
Right.
But yeah, no, this is...
yep.
Of course everyone is going to be like, you should probably delay this at least a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The point where the husband is like, you know, I know you didn't marry me for love, but it wasn't all bad. And then she just stares at him.
So I was just like, so wait, why did you get married then?
I guess for the money. Yeah.
But she's an act. Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe. I don't know.
I mean, later Diamond will imply that, like, you know, he's like, ah, you know, stardom fucks a person up, and it, you know, very few people can actually, like, not crack up under the pressure, and she wasn't one of them. So, like, maybe she, like, blew all her money or something.
Yeah, maybe she blew all, yeah, or maybe she wasn't getting paid that much in the first place, or...
because he definitely implies that he went through, like, a really bad patch in his past, where, like, he was, like, a drunk, and, like,
well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, and she calls him out for being, like, an alcoholic and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, like, specifically the reason why he can't dance anymore is because, he got into a drunk driving accident.
Right, right.
Anyway, we get Columbo's dog.
Yes.
True.
The dog is here.
Dog is here, and the dog is loud.
I love this dog later in the episode.
Columbo is constantly talking about how he's going to get his dog treats.
Yeah.
But not, like, dog treats.
No.
He's going to buy him a hot dog.
Yeah, he's going to get him a hot dog if he behaves himself.
Which I do support.
This dog is just his son.
When he said he had kids, he met this dog.
He met the dog, yeah.
He's one on the back of that car, of that shitty car, is the I've got fur babies. Oh, my kids have four paws. Columbo shows up to interview the Janet Leigh because he didn't get to last time because she had fallen. She had taken a bunch of sleeping pills by that time.
Yeah, this is where he like runs into Diamond and is like starstruck and harassing him while he's on the phone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not for like police reasons, but just because he's like, oh my god, look who it is.
He's like, wait a fucking minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that he specifically says that his wife dragged him to all his movies. Like, well, I'm sorry you had to be dragged.
And then when he talks to Wheeler in a few minutes, he's like, my wife took me to all your movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I think you're the murderer, so I'm going to butter you up more.
I just thought it was like, oh, okay, now I realize the mistake I made when I did this same conversation a second ago. I need to fix it.
Or also he's just good. Like, girl hot.
Also, yeah, that's probably part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Diamond was the person who Mrs. Columbo was looking at.
Right.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at him. Diamond has the same crazy sideburns that John Voight has in Holes.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
Those really, like, high sideburns that cut way into his face.
Yeah, they go out.
They're, like, even with his nostrils.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. I guess, like, yeah. This guy's supposed to be, like, the Gene Kelly of...
Yeah, that's definitely the impression I had.
I'm looking at, like, what all this guy did. This was, like, one of his last roles.
Oh, huh.
But he was in Miracle on 45th Street, the original.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Or 34th Street.
34th.
I was going to say, which street?
Listen, every street can have a miracle on it. That's the power of miracles.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was a different movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes and talks to Grace Wheeler, is talking a bunch about how his wife wanted to be just like her. Listen, we love you here. Hey, by the way, I don't think your husband fucking killed himself.
Right, because why would he have taken a sleeping pill? And she's like, well, maybe he didn't decide to kill himself till after he took it.
Yeah.
And it's the same conundrum we already talked about. Like, well, then why are his shoes dirty? Like, one way or the other, this doesn't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he follows her around for a while. They go back and forth.
Yeah, Columbo is sufficiently starstruck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're talking about, like, okay, listen, there's no, like, it had to be suicide. There's no way anybody else could get in. The door was bolted. And then he points to the other side of the room we haven't seen yet that just has an open door. Like, and he was like, well, somebody could have come in through this door. And she's like, well, look at this balcony. We've cut out all the bottom branches so that I could fall, but nobody could climb back up.
Right.
Like, I know that this was in here, like, we saw this earlier, but it did not occur to me that, like, yeah, he's got a whole fucking deck out here.
Sure.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just thought, like, she climbed out through a window or something, but it's, like, a whole-ass door and deck, and, like, there's furniture.
Yeah.
And all that, so, you know.
Rich people shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The butler comes to retrieve her and is like, hey, your vocal lesson's here. And she's like, well, that only happens on Fridays. And he's like, it is Friday. And she's like, oh, geez.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Yeah, that's the other, yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
We've already talked about this. I'm just I just think that this is a better episode if she knows.
Right.
Because, like, her forgetting is a really convenient out, but...
Sure.
I just don't think it's satisfying.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's supposed to be satisfying. I think it's kind of the point, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wish to be satisfied.
Sure.
It's what I want. Yeah. Columbo goes and talks to the doctor, who would have done... the guy's prostate surgery, and he gets the whole rundown of, like, yeah, no, it wasn't really that big a deal. Like, prostate surgery is pretty common, like, really high recovery rate, not really much in the way of a problem there. You know, you can remove the prostate without, it's, you know, not that big a deal.
Right.
And I was like, oh, so why didn't they do it? And he's like, well, he loves antibiotics, like I said, so.
Yeah.
He was a diagnostician. He was not a surgeon.
Yeah. He just chugs those things.
Yeah. I feel like in a different version of this episode, the, like, joke of it, like, Because what it's here is that this is a surgeon, he's very busy, doesn't have time to talk to Columbo, and then he gets waylaid by someone bugging him about the shooting range thing. I'm a little surprised they didn't go with, "Now, Lieutenant, when's the last time you had your prostate examined? It's important for a man of your age."
He can't do that right now. He's getting ready for surgery.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying, you know, if he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Columbo, it'll take no time at all. Hold on.
Columbo, let me just check that butt out.
Yeah.
Boop. Yeah, because they instead go with the reoccurring joke of where he's like, "Oh, do you want to see the surgery?" Columbo's like, "Oh, God, no."
Yeah.
Please,
yeah.
No.
I hate blood.
And then, yeah, like as he walks out, Columbo has been found by another cop from the computer division.
Oh.
Who says that he has not done his shooting range since in 5 years. And Columbo just goes, "Well, that your computer must have made a mistake."
Right.
And she's like, "That doesn't happen." Which is very funny to hear. And also because it did in fact make a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you gambled and you lost really bad. Because yes. It's twice as bad as we thought it was.
Well, what I assume that means is that 5 years ago, he bribed somebody to doctor his computer records, and they discovered the mistake because of this.
Oh, maybe. I just assumed that they just had wrong records.
Yeah, no, totally. But I think this sly little elf has something to do with why those records are wrong.
You think he doctored the records?
Yeah, he's got to be getting away with this somehow, right? Mm-hmm.
I just assume that it's like this, where he just goes, "Oh yeah, I'll go down tomorrow," and then he never does.
Right.
And then everybody's like, "Yeah, fucking Columbo."
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Columbo is at the bookstore looking up, when this guy bought this book, "The Transformation of Mrs. Twick."
Yes.
Can I just say?
Yes.
Columbo asks this man, "Hey, do you know what this book is?" And then he tells him the entire plot of the book.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a dick thing to do when you don't know this guy's asking about it when he's the police.
Also, yeah. Doesn't sound like a very good book.
No, it sounds like a really bad book. But
it sounds like a rude thing to do. Like, very extreme version of Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Yes.
Sure.
100%
yeah.
It does.
Well, because, yeah, that's like, this is like about like a, I think, Irish like maid who like wins the lottery.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mrs. Harris goes on this like world travels, and Mrs. Harris is about a British maid who then gets a bunch of money and
right
goes around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But this is supposedly very funny.
Yes, that's what we keep hearing.
Yes, they say it's very good. I don't believe them.
No, it sounds like dog shit.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad book.
Cut to dance rehearsal.
Yeah. And they're doing the 5, 6, 7, 8, but this young guy keeps on fucking up the moves.
I can't tell if he is or not.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know enough about dancing to be, I can't tell if the intention is meant to be here, because she keeps accusing him of, like, hitting his cues too early and, like, being, you know, early on the time. I don't know if they were trying to imply, actually, she's hitting them late because she's not as spry as she wants to tell herself she is.
Right, I thought this was just a moment of, oh, maybe she doesn't have it.
Right.
Which, like, I don't know. And then, like, right after this, because she's really mean to this guy.
She's so mean.
She's really mean to this guy, and then, and then goes to talk to Columbo afterwards, and it's like, "Oh, I can't remember your fucking name."
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess we're doing the plot, but she's also a huge bitch.
Right.
It's extremely unclear.
I like that she tells everyone to stop and they just keep going.
Yes.
These background dancers are here to background dance, goddammit. That's
right.
What they're gonna do.
They're paying me for this shit.
They have to yell at them like 5 times to get them to quit.
Hey.
Even the guy playing the piano is still kind of going at it.
Yeah.
And she's like, could you shut the fuck up? Yeah. Anyway, she talks to Columbo.
Yeah.
Columbo still don't believe this man killed himself.
No.
Haven't you seen this funny book? Haven't
this
you seen the
so funny
book with the dog ears?
No one can kill themselves after reading a book so funny.
It's too good for that.
Yeah.
This book cures depression.
Yeah. So, it's a lot of the same stuff. I don't remember any of the scenes with her being, like, that particularly...
And we've also discussed a lot of the kind of,
yeah,
like,
we've kind
larger...
of already finished talking about it. We just talked about it out of order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, he does the scene with her and Ned Diamond.
Yes.
Yes.
Where she flips out.
And, like, makes him fire the dude that, you know, is her dance partner.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, yeah, you know, she's funding this thing, so that means that even though he's the director, she gets final say over everything.
Yes.
It's like, oh, but he's so good, he'll be just a dynamite on stage, he'll really give us some more appeal. And she's like, oh, are you saying I'm not good enough all on my own? It's like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
Ma'am, this has always been a two-person operation. What are you saying about me right now when we were doing it together?
Right.
Like.
Yeah.
You're doing the same show we did together, you bitch.
But instead what he says is, you know, I've always been in love with you and wished I had married you. Do you still want to get married now that
and
your
she's
husband's
like, yeah,
dead?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it, man. Whatever.
Well,
sounds
and, like,
good
also,
to me.
She's like, in your dumb drinking.
Yeah.
Right, like, this scene is supposed to be part of why I'm supposed to believe she's having, like, mental problems, but she just kind of seems like a monster.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like...
They maybe have her go too hard for the fact that we're supposed to kind of, you know, pity her at the end of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Columbo tries to do the thing where he sneaks out of the balcony.
Well, first he gives
he
his dog...
Yeah, first the most important scene of the episode happens.
Oh, my apologies. I forgot about dog eat ice cream.
Dog eat ice cream!
Pris was so worried that he was going to give the dog the chocolate ice cream.
Oh, sure.
Columbo knows.
He knows. It was okay. But
he gives him the vanilla.
There was an anxiety in the air for a moment.
Yeah.
And then Columbo gets so mad that his dog didn't wipe his face.
The next scene, the dog just has, yeah, ice cream all over his snout. And he's like, look at you. You're a mess. Wipe your face. You think I'm going to wipe it for you? Forget about it.
And then he goes, eh.
Oh, to be a dog eating a waffle cone.
Right. He's just feeding this dog ice cream while the cop, like, harangues him about
yeah.
his shooting test.
The fucking internal affairs guy is here.
Yeah, because Columbo's fired unless he shows up tomorrow to shoot some targets.
Yep. He hates guns.
He hates guns.
I know I shot one 2 episodes ago, but I didn't like it. Okay?
He didn't like it at all.
Well, the song that they're singing, I was like, I remember this, and then I remembered that it was, like, part of, like, a montage of, like, you know, the films of, like, blank year.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
And it played during, like, Moho movies that make me emotional, so I, like, have, like, stored emotion from it.
Right.
So I was
like, it's
like
when I hear Kingdom Hearts Dearly Beloved.
Yeah, it's like, why is this old man in this Columbo scene, like, kind of getting me? Yeah, like, what if this guy just started singing Dearly Beloved? He'd be fucked up. Yeah. I also love that Columbo, like, when he goes to investigate the tree, he is, like, so clearly also, like, is kind of in love with the... celebrityness of it.
Right, right.
In a way that...
He loves watching this dance. He's super into it.
Yeah, like, in a way that in earlier cases of this, I don't know if he is 100% like, actually was a
yeah.
fan of them.
Right.
This he definitely was.
Yeah, this
yes.
is clearly, you know, yeah, he's got nostalgia for them. But not enough nostalgia to stop himself from just sneaking upstairs to climb up a tree. Climb down a tree, rather.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Columbo, it very obviously becomes a stunt man.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they don't want to show his face.
All of a sudden, he can't roll down a hill anymore, huh?
That was a mistake, and you know
it. For it.
Listen, if it was a mistake that Peter Falk fell out of this tree, they'd keep it in.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like some of these shots, this looks, like, pretty high up, and then in others, it's like... He could just let go and be fine.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. I think he also doesn't want to land on his dog, because that's
that's
other
part of
bit.
It, too. The dog jumped out of the car and is, like, just barking at him. I was really worried that the dog was going to get ice cream all over this mansion and the butler was going to get mad at the dog, and that wouldn't have been okay.
No, that would have been bad.
Oh, that would have been some shenanigans.
Columbo tells the guy to go do the shot. Like, the rest of this episode is stuff we've already talked about at this point.
Yeah, I just really want to say I love the last scene between Columbo and Diamond.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did almost say
it's
Neil
incredible
Diamond.
Stuff. It is, not Neil, Ned Diamond. Different guy. Ned Diamond. His brother.
Well, because one, after, like, Columbo just looking the shittiest he's looked like in so long, he comes in immaculate.
Yes.
He's cleaned up.
Yeah. Because he's already explained to Ned, like, they meet in Ned's office, and he, like, goes over, like, yeah, listen, I'm pretty sure she killed her husband, and I think I can prove it. Come with me. She's going to show me one of her old movies tonight. Like, I'll be there if you care about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's just like, how fucking dare you? And he's just like, be there.
Yeah.
And then he shows up, and he's there, and it's like, ah.
And, yeah, Peter Falk put on a tuxedo.
Yeah.
It's also very good when she, like, throws open the curtains and you just see, like, Columbo's, like, lower half flailing.
Oh, yeah, when he's in the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think this is some great Peter Falk acting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Falk's, he's killing it for it's like last 15 minutes. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, as Molly, we were saying earlier, she is, like, going in and out of the room, and so, like, he is having to, like, change gears, like, very quickly. Like, as he's, like, explained, like, you know, like, so there's one of four things that could have happened.
Yeah.
You know, either...
The thing he's proving here is that he checked the runtime of the movie, and it's only an hour 45, but the night of the murder, it took 2 hours for it to end.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's because of the tape breaking.
And he knows it because when Carson was ending, that's when he got up to change the last reel.
Right.
Yes.
She went to go get the guy to change it, which we know didn't happen. She stared at it for, like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
A blank screen without doing anything, which probably didn't happen.
Right.
It took her, 30 minutes to fix this, even though as the scene is happening, it is taking...
It takes 4 minutes for her to fix it, and there's a 15-minute gap they need to account for.
Right.
Yes. Or she went upstairs and murdered her husband.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it is just Ned Diamond, like, realizing, like, ah, fuck. Yep. And then we get the second, the twist.
Right. Columbo, like, has proven it to Ned, but hasn't called her out yet. And he pulls Ned aside and explains, like, I don't really know what to do because she has this, like, you know, degenerative illness. She probably doesn't even remember that she did it, even though she definitely did. And she overhears that and starts getting mad. Like, wait a second. You say, why are you still harping on my husband being murdered? That was not true. And Ned decides to dive on the grenade and confess to the crime so that she doesn't have to go to jail.
Yeah.
And, like, Columbo is, like, just sort of silently lets them have their moment together as he says, like, I loved you and I wanted to be with you and that's why I did it, blah, blah, blah. And as Columbo's kind of taking him away, they're just continue talking. He's like, you know, it's not going to be very hard to disprove this story. And he's like, well, might take a couple months, though.
Yeah.
Which is as much time as she has to live.
Right.
Yeah. Because, Columbo figures this all out because he was looking through the guy's medical files.
Yes.
To find out more about the surgery.
Right.
And found, like, a kind of encoded message about the wife and that she has, like, a... aneurysm basically in her brain.
Yeah.
And that's also why he knows that the husband would never have okayed.
Killed himself. Or, yeah, well, okayed her doing the show.
Yeah.
Because it would have exacerbated it.
Right, because yes. The real reason he didn't want to let her is because, yeah, he didn't want that to get worse.
And, yeah, also probably the reason why he wanted to go on the last trip, like a huge trip with her.
It makes way more sense that he wanted to do that trip.
Right.
Also, Columbo's wife got sick and couldn't be here. So sad.
Yeah, so sad.
Yeah, the twist tracks, like, the whole episode does make sense when you know the twist, but it still kind of feels like they're playing dirty pool with it, and I don't totally
I just
know
don't
why.
Like, yeah, I feel like I don't like being manipulated. I don't appreciate it. That's
what
it feels
like a rug pull in a way that, like, a really good plot twist usually doesn't. I have a hard time pinpointing where I'm, like, bumping up against this.
I think a large part of it is that I have seen this episode before.
Sure, yeah.
And I knew this twist going in.
Right.
And so I was able to, like, see all of that stuff go, you know, the hints at it, and also just more focus on, like, the shots and the acting.
Yeah.
And concentrate less on the plot.
I think we kind of, you said it earlier, Molly, you know, what we were talking about before is just that, like, kind of the premise of Columbo is there is no plot twist. We're going to tell you everything.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be watching Columbo pick the knot apart.
Right. Yes.
And that's not what this episode is.
And then also on top of that, I think because, like I said, she's horrible.
Yeah.
She is a mean, vindictive, evil person.
Right.
And then, like, the redemption, and then also, I think if this episode ends and he decides to not arrest her, that's one thing. But having this guy jump on the grenade for, like, no reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Columbo could just walk away.
Yeah.
You know?
I do agree that him, like, choosing to, like, do that is a weird... It's a weird story choice.
She is awful to him in a way that makes it hard to understand why he's still in love with her.
Yes.
And, like, has, like, over the course of this episode started to see how horrible she is.
And, like, obviously that is, hey, people are like that sometimes, but they don't... This guy is, like, not in the episode enough for me to, like, understand him well enough to be like, yeah, I mean, of course he would. Why wouldn't he?
Right, he just kind of, like, says, oh, yeah, I was in love with you, and then does this.
Yeah.
Unsatisfying to me.
Yeah, if... I think this has a different read, just in general, if they're just like, she probably doesn't remember, and we just, like, cut back to her, like, watching the movie.
Right.
And just, like, smiling.
Or, you know, like I said, don't even have the forgetfulness element of it, just make it, she's gonna die. I don't see a point in arresting someone who's dying. We may as well just let her think she got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, despite the fact that this doesn't really work for me, I do appreciate that they tried something different.
Yeah, and I like I said, I like all the performances in this. I think they're really good, and Pia Falk is killing it this episode. It's just I just don't like the way they did this.
Yeah.
That's
fair
all.
Enough. Do you guys want questions?
Yeah.
From @ChumPersonal, given that that the movie that's central to this episode was an actual Janet Leigh movie, do you think that Grace Wheeler also starred in the Columbo universe's Psycho?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Do you think that Grace Wheeler also starred in the Columbo universe's Columbo?
Hmm.
No.
Okay.
No, because she did a murder.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
From @ThisIsEmeralds, would you go to jail for 2 months for a loved one's benefit?
No.
Well, here's the thing. This dude's not going to fucking jail. He's posting bond, and he's going to, like,
to
hang out in his mansion.
He's gonna be under investigation. Yeah.
And, like, because the lead investigator already knows the truth, he's not even gonna get hassled all that much.
Yeah.
No.
And I guess my answer is, it depends.
Yeah.
Who did what and why?
Right.
What's the situation? What's the context? I guess if I could make the last 2 months of their life easier if they did something horrific while they have a terminal illness.
Right.
Maybe.
For this woman, no.
For this woman, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah. I knew that I recognized the name of the actor who plays the butler.
Yeah.
And so I was just looking it up. He plays Dr. Zaius.
Oh, in Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes movies.
That's great.
Yeah. It made him look like an orangutan.
That's true.
But yeah, no, listen, there are some people I would go to jail for, but not in this situation.
Right.
From at Stilt the GM, if you were a butler, what subtle tricks would you play on your employer to sabotage their life?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Microdosing laxatives, 100%. Easiest.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good one. I think just move all the furniture in a room, like, an inch every day until it's, like, fully rotated.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was, like, going to be, like, moving objects.
Yeah. You can really gaslight someone when they underpay you to take care of all their needs.
Yep. That's a fact.
From at Mike Loves Rabbit, favorite musical?
Favorite musical?
I think I know Molly's.
Yeah, I think you could take a shot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's Hello, Dolly.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
That wasn't even what I meant. That wasn't even the level on which I was making a joke. I just pulled a famous old musical.
And yet.
Sorry, you're right. Let me try again. It's Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, my favorite is Jesus Christ Superstar. I have a soft spot for Grease also.
Sure.
I saw the Legally Blonde musical once, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I think that's a good musical.
It's pretty good.
I probably got to go Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Company is my favorite.
I don't think I know that one.
It's like a Stephen Sondheim.
Mm.
It's about a bunch of New York couples and like the one single guy that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like about like, you know, mid like quarter life crises.
Oh, sure.
And there's a really good documentary about it.
Okay.
That's in the Criterion where they filmed the cast recording album.
Oh.
And in like 24 hours, and you can just tell that everyone's ready to murder each other.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also a musical that I did several numbers from at school, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Little Shop of Horrors was like our school musical in like senior year.
It is also like a musical that has a giant monster in it.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And also, like, it's got a movie adaptation with, like, Rick Moranis and fucking Steve Martin, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I've seen that one. It's pretty good.
The fucking dentist scene with Bill Murray and Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Steve Martin's a sadist, and Bill Murray's a masochist, and Steve Martin's just getting angrier and angrier that he likes it when he tortures him. Because it's only good for him when he actually, like, upsets the person.
And there's just, like, that weird joke where he, like, opens up his closet and it's a shrine to his mother.
Yeah, yeah. I might need to watch that movie again.
Directed by Frank Oz.
Yeah, Yoda
just
himself.
Piggy himself. Yeah. From at Actual Fox Lexi, what actress would you let get away with murder?
I already said Sigourney Weaver. She's tall and has red hair.
Sigourney Weaver? Yeah, true.
True enough. I'd probably also go with that.
Michelle Yeoh.
If I saw Anne Hathaway doing some shit.
I wouldn't say shit about Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Not once in my life would I say shit about Anne Hathaway.
I might say shit about Anne Hathaway. I don't know.
How dare you? Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
I'd let her.
The thing is, when I look at Sigourney Weaver and I look her in the eye, I see the capability of a killer in there.
She'll kill
that
you.
That is true.
I feel like she might do a murder.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Susan Sarandon, if she murdered someone, that is definitely like in the, like, listen, I had to.
When I was like, I don't know, 22, 23, I made a friend watch Speed Racer with me who was skeptical that it was a good movie, because that's who I was and who the world was at that point in time. Yeah. And I think their biggest takeaway was, oh my god, why is Susan Sarandon as Speed Racer's mom so fucking hot?
Because Susan Sarandon's fucking
hot. Susan Sarandon's hot!
Yeah. Like, there's like one scene where she's got like a slightly low-cut dress and like the rest of that movie didn't matter to him.
Yeah. Makes sense. I get it.
Just like a half inch of cleavage in one scene, and that's the only memory he had.
I really love this photo from like what appears to be the like fucking like press circuit of Speed Racer, where it's Susan Sarandon and her dog on the red carpet.
Great.
That's delightful.
From at JBU3, out of every protagonist you've covered over your various reprise casts, which one is most likely to break out into song? I mean, James does break out into song.
That's true.
That's true. I was gonna say, again, Kamen Rider Forze.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
I think Alex Tully Spies would.
Mater.
Yeah. Mater, yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's probably one of those cartoons that we decided not to watch, probably.
Can we call him a protagonist?
He's a deuteragonist.
he is definitely the protagonist of the second movie.
He's kind of the protagonist of Cars 2. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. He shouldn't be.
No.
No. Agreed. He's racist.
What a series of choices that film was.
Every so often I just remember that movie, like, I definitely, doing it on this podcast got something out of me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it was a necessary evil for me to, like, binge something.
Right, you purged it.
Yeah, but every so often I'm like, why did they make that movie?
Right, in like another 10 years you'll need to do another podcast about it to get rid of all the buildup.
From at Lady K. Hirsch, what's your favorite musical that involves a murder?
I mean, I think I already said.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors.
Company does have a murder, so I was going to go with Assassins.
Sure, yeah, it's a classic one.
Yeah, that's a movie all about murder.
Right.
But they did murder Jesus, though. That is very, yeah, that very did. Much did kill Jesus.
Yes.
Listen, I know this is no longer the cool answer, but there are parts of Hamilton that still are good.
Yeah.
Listen, it caught on for a reason.
Yeah.
A lot of us were very different people in 2015.
Yeah.
That's very true.
There's a really good, it's like a screenshotted YouTube comment where it was like someone being like, commenting like an old video of like a Hamilton animatic.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want to say anything. I just want to remind you that you had a Hamilton face.
Rude.
Yes.
You shouldn't do that to somebody. That's not nice.
If you're forced to have one, would you rather have a butler or a maid?
Is there a difference?
One's a guy, one's a lady.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, I mean, I'm objectifying people as it is. I may as well have a maid. I mean,
sure, I guess.
That would be my preference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I do kind of, the image of, like, a butler of a guy, like, you know, standing with, like, a silver platter going, like, yes, sir.
Right, right.
It's funnier to me than the image of having a maid.
Sure.
And I would definitely be doing this for the bit.
Sure.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
I just want to be like, Jeeves, get me, like, the Reese's Minis. Yes, and like, don't dead name me, Jeeves. Yes, man.
Son of a bitch.
That would be the way that he would sell tricks to sabotage my life.
Right, sabotage your life. Misgender you.
Yes.
That's not very nice.
And somehow not get fired for it.
Yeah. He's just a lovable scamp is the problem.
He's got tenure, weirdly.
Butler tenure, yeah.
I don't ask me how it works, but I've talked to the people that is ironclad. And then last question from Emma Healy. What band that doesn't have one would make a good jukebox musical movie?
Ooh, okay.
I not the exact same thing, but I think, Luke, you might agree with this, that I do want to hear the full Coraline soundtrack that the MIP Giants made.
Oh, with every fucking inch of my soul, yeah.
Yes.
I saw that, like, oh my god, the MIP Giants is making a musical movie, fuck yeah. Oh, they got fired. Well, fuck that movie then, I won't watch it. I didn't see it for like 10 years. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I also don't know if they got fired. I just think they like made all the songs and they're like, like what this movie is has changed.
Yeah.
I get this firing, whatever.
Right. Well, I've seen them talk about it. They're like, yeah, we made all those songs. We had a lot of fun with it. We thought it was going great. And then, you know, Henry Selick just is a really particular guy and he decided he didn't like what her songs sounded like. And so that was it, I guess.
You hired They Might Be Giants.
Right.
What did you think you were getting?
Yeah, no, I remember they were kind of like, it seemed like something where, like, they were pissy about it a long time ago, and, like, they weren't still mad about it, because it happened, like, you know, 10 plus years later, but they were still like, yeah, I don't know what his fucking problem was, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, as someone who's done a lot of research and listened to a lot of stuff about Henry Selick, seems like a very chill dude.
Seems like a lot of people don't know what his fucking problem is.
There are, like, multiple people who are like, yeah, I've never talked to him again. Right. Or, like, he has never talked to me since this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was that combined of, like, but, I mean, we got paid either way, so whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're getting paid.
Right.
And they released some of those songs.
They've released, there's the one song that's on Coraline, and there's one other one they've put out.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the origin of this question. I actually don't think They Might Be Giants would be a good...
I think you could do it, but yeah.
I think their songs are so, like, varied in a way, like, in subject matter.
Yeah.
That it'd be hard to make a connecting thing.
I don't disagree, but I mean, they I don't know, they've got some consistent themes. They don't like going to work very much.
That's true.
True. Who does?
Yeah.
Also, my brain instantly went to a Mountain Goats Alpha Couple musical.
Horrific.
Yes.
That's a lot of people dead. I don't know if I...
Is Alpha Couple like an album by them, or...?
No, it's like an ongoing series of songs about people who hate each other.
I see. I thought maybe it was just some subset of like Omegaverse stuff, and you were just combining a few ideas.
No.
Well,
no, John Darnielle doesn't. Well, I'm not going to say John Darnielle doesn't know about Omegaverse, but, like, he's not singing about it.
Well, but what if, though?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, No Children is an alpha song.
Okay.
It's like an alpha couple
alpha
song.
Alpha couple song, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's very alpha.
Right.
Mumford and Sons. I don't know. I'm just looking at my Spotify.
Yeah.
What a Coheed and Cambria musical. Oh,
no, that's not. I feel like that's cheating. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I'm also just thinking of, like, what would make the worst jukebox musical?
Lou Bega. Just blow out Mambo Number 5 and do a whole 2-hour epic.
Streetlight Manifesto, because it's like 400 songs about not committing suicide. Just be a very depressing jukebox musical.
Yeah, here's the song about me not committing
or a very
suicide.
Uplifting
here's,
one.
Here's my song about my friend not committing suicide.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh.
I haven't.
I know what it's about. I haven't seen it.
I haven't. I'm good.
You are.
Yeah,
Molly, I don't know if you've
that.
Ever been more good in your life.
I think I knew at one point what it was about, but I've gone ahead and forgotten that.
All right.
Any more questions?
Nope.
Luke, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at SSJ Speed Racer. You can find other shows that I do on audioentropy.com, such as Eidolon Playtest, the award-winning actual play RPG podcast, IGM, two different campaigns, Idle on Disco, Idle on Ska. We're fucking cooking over there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a fucking stew going right now.
Hey, we got a goddamn stew going.
Somebody on Twitter today said that Ska29 was one of the funniest episodes of the podcast, which I thought was pretty funny because I don't know if I thought that. And I just edited Ska30, which is what just went up when this episode comes out, and yeah, it's funnier.
I honestly just think Disco30 is in the conversation.
It is in the conversation for sure.
It's so funny to me.
It's, yeah, I think it's beautiful. You should be listening to Eidolon Playtest.
You really should be.
You really should.
And then you can also listen to MCU Complete Me, where we are wrapping up at least this season of our DC movie podcast, Show Me the Batcave. We're finishing up Zack Snyder whenever Crystal gets that episode edited. And like I said earlier, we're moving on to the M. Night Shyamalan superhero movies. Had to dig deep for another Jerry Maguire quote to name a miniseries after.
Where'd you guys land?
Oh, well.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be called Don't Shoplift the Pootie from Shyamalan.
All right.
Because Cuba Gooding Jr. tells Tom Cruise not to shoplift the pootie from a single mom in Jerry Maguire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you had to really work for that one.
Meaning that, you know, you can't just have a one-night stand with her. Single moms, they want, like, a life partner to help them raise a child.
Yeah.
And similarly, mm-hmm. Our stance is, I guess, the one-night stand is just liking Sixth Sense and thinking his movies are bad otherwise.
People like plenty of his movies.
I know, but a lot of people, make fun of him for a long time. I think that's a very popular
opinion, but...
Yeah. You can't shoplift the pootie from a Shyamalan.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
I guess.
One Night Shyamalan.
Listen to that Justice League episode to hear Crystal just have a full-on breakdown of laughing when I pitched this to her for like 10 minutes straight.
Great. Ashley, where can we find you online?
You can find me online at Yuri Labrador with an underscore on Tumblr and a dash on Tumblr. Oh,
you sure?
You can find me at Yuri Librarian with underscore Twitter and a dash on Tumblr, although I've also stopped using... The internet's bad.
Yeah, Tumblr sold everybody out.
Yeah, Tumblr had a minute there, like, oh, Tumblr's back. Let's all go back to Tumblr, and then maybe not.
Yeah, they ruined that one pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still using Co-host.
Yeah. Yep. I should use it more. But yeah, also I was talking about wrestling a lot this week. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Sting retired.
Sting retired. He went through sheet of glass.
Damn.
Bad idea.
He did it pretty safe. The other guy did not.
Yeah.
Is it stupid for me to ask if it was like sugar glass?
Oh no.
I honestly don't know.
For Sting, it might have been, although people have said like that they have gotten close enough to the glass to think that it was not sugar.
Okay.
Okay.
I just feel like convincing glass is a solved problem.
Luke, have you seen that Darby Allin gif?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to make you regret that.
Okay. Yeah. Also, they've had instances in wrestling where they've tried to do sugar glass and it has gone horribly wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's like one of those weird things where people feel safer with...
Oh, so then they're less, like, cautious around it?
Yes.
I see.
And in that case, the sugar glass got replaced with real glass at the last second and no one got told.
What? Okay, oh. Now.
That's that Shane O'Mac, Kurt Angle match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what God.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know why you would do this.
Why would you do this to your body?
Because he's stupid.
This guy is just extremely stupid, and he would be doing this in backyards if he was not getting paid to do it.
That's one of those, yeah. God, they're zooming in to show all the little lacerations on his back.
All of the blood.
Like, that's one of those ones where he, like, his footing slips an inch and he's just dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a smart thing to do.
Would would have been incredibly simple for him to land on his neck.
I appreciate, you could see in this other one that Ashley sent, you could see the ref, like, steadying the ladder for him.
Yeah, right.
They do that a lot in AEW, and, like, people have, like, shit-talked them for, and all the wrestlers have said, yeah, it's way safer.
Yeah, it's way safer.
Like,
I get it, you know, immersion ruined or whatever, but I would rather they not die.
Right. And also, like, you know, I imagine, especially if you're in the crowd, you're not looking at the ref.
Yeah, no, you're looking at the guy who's going to jump.
Yeah.
Anyway. Is that all places people can find you?
Yeah, patreon.com/AshleyLeeMinor. Sorry.
Give Ashley fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Sorry to mix this up. Molly.
You can find me on Twitter and co-host at YourFriendMollyTheYER. You can find me at AudioEntropy.com, INeedMayo.com, and TheSecondBestGame.club. The Dark Void episode is up. I think Dark Void shreds. That shit is weird and cool and not finished in ways that I find extremely charming.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so go listen to that. I, again, was on Abnormal Lapping this month to talk about Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. That's also good. Otherwise, you can head to audioentropy.com, hit the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. Give us some money for hosting for the website. Appreciate it if you could do that. Leave us a review somewhere. Tell people that we're really smart and funny and talking about Columbo and, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
That's it, Ashley. Get us out of here.
Until next time. One more thing.
Huh?
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. I forgot my coat, I'm singing in the rain.
No, please continue.
I smile at you.
I'll just sleep.